This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for December 7th, 2012. I'm Natalie Pynchon. Topics covered in this podcast are epilepsy, trauma, vascular disorders, neuroendoscopy, stereotactic radiosurgery, and vestibular schwannoma. Transmantle sign in focal cortical dysplasia, a unique radiological entity with excellent prognosis for seizure control. A clinical article by Doris Wang and colleagues. Focal cortical dysplasia represents a spectrum of developmental cortical abnormalities. It is one of the most common causes of intractable epilepsy in children and young adults. Outcomes after surgery for focal cortical dysplasia are highly variable. Prognosticators of seizure freedom are unclear. In some focal cortical dysplasias, a transmantle sign can be observed on imaging that focally spans the entire cerebral mantle from the ventricle to the cortical surface. The aim of this study was to characterize seizure control outcomes and the prognostic significance of the transmantle sign in focal cortical dysplasia epilepsy. The authors report on 14 patients with the transmantle sign who underwent resective surgery for medically refractory epilepsy. The authors found that the 12 patients who underwent complete resection of MRI and electrocorticographic abnormalities became seizure-free. When compared with 114 patients with focal cortical dysplasia who did not have the transmantle sign, patients with the transmantle sign showed significantly improved seizure-free outcomes after complete resections. The transmantle sign is a unique feature observed in cortical dysplasias and is particularly amenable to surgical treatment with highly favorable seizure control outcomes. Needs assessment for simulation training in neuroendoscopy, a Canadian national survey, a clinical article by Faisal Haji and co-authors. In recent years, there has been an increased interest in simulation-based training for complex neurosurgical skills. However, prior to simulator development, a thorough assessment of training needs is essential to ensure that educationally relevant platforms are designed. To this end, the authors of this study conducted a national needs assessment addressing specific goals of instruction to guide development of simulation platforms, training curricula, and assessment metrics for endoscopic third ventriculostomy, or ETV. 55% of the surgeons contacted completed the survey. All believed that virtual reality simulation would be a valuable addition to clinical training for ETV. Selection of fenestration site, navigation within the ventricles, and performing the ventriculostomy were ranked as the most important steps to simulate. Technically inadequate ventriculostomy and inappropriate fenestration site selection were ranked as the most frequent and significant errors. A standard ETV module was thought to be most beneficial for resident training. The results provide valuable insights to inform the design of educationally relevant simulators and training curricula. Hearing preservation in patients with vestibular schwannoma treated with gamma knife surgery. A clinical article by Andrew Boschnagel and co-workers. Hearing loss after stereotactic radiosurgery in patients with vestibular schwannoma has been associated with many factors, including cochlear dose. In this paper, Beaumont Hospital researchers report outcomes in 40 patients with serviceable hearing treated with Gamma Knife surgery. These patients received a median marginal dose of 12.5 gray to the tumor. Audiometry was performed prospectively at select time points. With a median follow-up of 35 months, the actuarial rates of maintaining serviceable hearing were 93% at 1 year, 77% at 2 years, and 74% at 3 years. Various factors were analyzed, including age, tumor size, pretreatment hearing status, as well as the mean and maximum dose to the cochlea. Only the mean cochlear dose was found to be a statistically significant factor associated with hearing loss. In fact, no patient receiving a mean cochlear dose less than 2 gray experienced serviceable hearing loss. Patients receiving a mean cochlear dose less than 3 gray had a 2-year hearing preservation rate of 91% compared with 59% in those receiving a dose greater than or equal to 3 gray. The authors conclude that their high hearing preservation rate supports limiting the mean dose to the cochlea to less than 3 gray. Collimator plugging is one way of achieving this minimal cochlear dose. Timing and mechanism of ischemic stroke due to extracranial blunt traumatic cerebrovascular injury. A clinical article by Christoph Greisenauer and colleagues. Traumatic injury of the external carotid and vertebral arteries has been increasingly recognized due to aggressive screening protocols. It occurs in about 1% of patients who have suffered blunt trauma. For aggressive screening to be justified, convincing clinical evidence is necessary to demonstrate that the ability to diagnose and treat traumatic carotid and vertebral artery injury actually results in prevention of stroke, the most serious complication of traumatic carotid or vertebral artery injury. This study evaluated the timing and mechanism of ischemic stroke in patients with traumatic carotid and vertebral artery injuries. Patients having suffered blunt trauma and who were at risk for traumatic carotid or vertebral injury underwent screening with computed tomography angiography and confirmatory digital subtraction angiography. All patients with confirmed arterial injuries were treated with aspirin. Overall, 8.8% of patients with arterial injuries suffered a stroke. All ischemic strokes had an embolic pattern, and most of them, 67%, occurred prior to diagnosis of the arterial injury. Patients with asymptomatic arterial injuries had a rate of stroke during hospitalization of 2.9%. These findings suggest that asymptomatic, traumatic, carotid, and vertebral artery injuries may be more benign than previously thought and may not require more aggressive treatment other than treatment with antiplatelet agents. Thank you for listening. Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group podcasts are contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes to access all our podcasts and videos, all updated continuously. You can also follow the Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group on Twitter and now also on Facebook. To read articles published this week in any of our journals, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org.